Rock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?
Do that again.
You are so stupid.
That's right.
They're all gonna laugh at you.
That's right.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
That's right.
This is crazy. What's going on here?
I don't know if it's loudly.
I got $100 smoking in my billfold.
Quack, quack.
I know I ought to save it, but it's burning a hole. Oh.
Local Talk on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. Live and local with Monica J.
Woohoo! Is it finally Friday? Oh my gosh. Can't believe this. So, happy Friday. It's the Monica J. Show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Live, local, for all of Northern Nevada, and I am so honored to be here with you. I love our words together and what we talk about, and I want to talk about happy and joyous things and beautiful things, but you know, right now it's not possible. I was really trying to go through things that, you know, would bring us all together and bring us something happy, and then it keeps coming at us. You know, the new mural in downtown Reno for Black Lives Matter is all up and running. And I guess they've changed. Somebody must have gotten some blowback or something, because now it's privately funded. Because I originally told you that Naomi Dewar paid for it out of the city her discretional funds, but that has now changed, it looks like. So the mural says, "We said Black Lives Matter. We never said only Black Lives Matter. We know all lives matter. We just need your help. Hashtag Black Lives Matter." No. When you say Black Lives Matter, that implies that only Black Lives Matter. So, you know, personally, I think that mural is a bunch of BS. You go to blacklivesmatter.com and donate to Black Lives Matter and follow the money. It goes to Act Blue, and it basically goes into the Democrat Socialist Fund to get more Democrats elected. It's just the way it is. Follow the money. You can follow the money on everything. So let's start following the money. Black Lives Matter has wanted to defund and pretty much get rid of the police for the last 3 years. Pretty much since it started up. Why? Because it is a Soros-funded organization, gave them the seed money to start it, and NWO does not want local policing. They want a federalized law enforcement. So local communities have no say. So sheriffs can't come out and say, "That's unconstitutional. We're not going to enforce that bull squat law or that bull squat mandate that you want to put out." So I want to hear from you if you see any of these kind of signs popping up. You need to text it to me immediately. This is a sign in the window of all Molly Moon's ice cream stores. Not quite sure what locations they have. But the sign says police officers. Molly Moon's is a gun-free zone. Please do not come inside if you are wearing a firearm. No guns allowed inside. So they're not banning police officers. Police officers just aren't allowed to carry their guns into the store. So what? They leave their guns in the car? So their car gets broken into? Like we saw so many in New York and Seattle. Duty bags being stolen, firearms being stolen. So there you go. We aren't even on the start of something bigger. We're already in it. And I hate the fact that so many people can't see it. A concerned parent email this morning. An incident happened yesterday with my adult daughter with Down syndrome. She has support to take her out in the community to participate in various activities. Yesterday afternoon, she normally attends a bowling group with her peers. Mind you, since all the COVID nonsense started, thank you for saying nonsense, interaction with her friends has been severely curtailed. She arrived at the bowling alley with her mask, but since it's hard for her to breathe due to very small nasal airway, she will pull it down to her chin. The owner of the bowling alley came up to her and told her she must keep the mask on over her nose and mouth while in the bowling alley or the bowling alley would be fined $135,000 by OSHA. Governor Sisolak's goon squad. If she did not comply, she would be asked to leave. She really wanted to stay and have some social time. So she complied. When she arrived back home 2 hours later, I checked her oxygen levels with her home oximeter, and it was 90%. This is just unacceptable and dangerous to her health. Do we have any recourse? I thought that those with disabilities were exempt from this unlawful mandate. No, the only people who are exempt from this unlawful mandate are the homeless. Who, if you believe all this beat squat from Governor Sisolak and his expert medical people, you know, they should have been dead from it a long time ago. But no. Because this is not about a virus. A virus that, if had not been hyped up, I want you to think about this, and I want you to take this seriously, damn seriously. If the WHO, the CDC, and the media and the Democrats, I'm trying to make sure I have all my bases covered here, did not say anything about the coronavirus, you would have never have known it existed. The death rate is not there. The death rate that they are telling you is not realistic. I mean, I'll go find my audio of the woman saying multiple times, multiple people have brought it up, that whatever you die from, if they test you and you have COVID-19 or coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, Wuhan flu, Kung flu, you will be listed as a coronavirus death. to inflate the numbers, to scare the public, to allow tyranny to take over this country. That is what's happening around us. And now, in conversations last night, yesterday afternoon with bar owners, actually, the conversation started with a few types of business owners when I put out the word, it's coming. Sisolak is going to follow suit with the Democrats because that's what they want him to do, and he is going to shut this state down. But he decided to just shut down bars because the numbers of coronavirus were on the rise, but not the deaths, not the hospitalizations, just the positive tests. For all the people out there, for all the lemmings, for all the sheep who are buying into all of this because that's what they have been told to believe. Yeah, boy, there's more of you. But a lot more of us are starting to wake up. I've been awake this whole time, and I've been trying to bring you along with me that this is a farce. The coronavirus is real. It is not a pandemic. All you have to do is look at the numbers. Nobody wants to see anybody die. But guess what? We all die. So if you choose to live your life in fear, then that is your choice. Stay home and let the rest of us get on with our lives. We are 32 in the U.S. cases per 100,000. We are 27th in the U.S. in deaths per 100,000. And yet these numbers have not changed in weeks. So ask yourself, and Jim, thank you for those numbers, why we're being shut down. As Jim puts it, nobody checks the facts. They just tell us something is on the increase. They mandate things, and then we're expected to comply. It's all about compliance. It's all about control. And the only time it stops is when you stop it. And it's not going to, from my vision, it's not going to happen anytime soon. When I was at the legislative building doing the show live on Wednesday, maybe 50 people out there to protest what the legislature was doing and keeping us locked out. But because the education union has so much money, and that's what the media wants to report, as you saw more than 400 people there to get the schools, to get something for the schools going. Half of those people, I'd say more than half of those people, were kids. Why? Well, because they had nothing else to do. So drained of money are they that for these 400 people, they all had matching shirts. They all had matching face masks. Big high power bullhorns. Professional signs. That takes a lot of money. It's all BS, people. Until you stand up and support those 50 people that were out there to open up this state, to get rid of the masks, and to get us back into city council meetings, county commission meetings, and state legislative meetings, then we're all just treading water. Sit back and enjoy the ride. And I'll tell you how to sit back and enjoy it a lot better right after this quick break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's your show. Live, local, everything that's going on. Bars closed tonight, 11:59. Officially closed on Saturday. This poll question is brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. And it's simple, but it's more of a messaging to me. And I appreciate all your participation. But I want to know what you're doing this weekend. And please keep it clean. But there are protests going on. The state workers are actually going to be protesting in front of the mansion, in front of the governor's mansion. There's going to be open up the state protesters in front of the Capitol. So there's all kinds of things that you can participate in. But I want to know what you're doing. What are you doing for fun? As you heard my, unless you're just joining us now, you can always check out the podcast, but read an email this morning from a concerned parent. You know, these masks are hurting people. And there are some people with disabilities that just, they don't even know what's going on. It's very sad. And then there's others who understand, they get what they have to do, but it's affecting their health. Like I said, it only stops when you say or do something. Yesterday's poll question was, if Governor Sisolak takes the state of Nevada back to phase one, will you comply? 62% said hell no. 7% said yes, of course. 3% said no, because I don't have to, because I'm antisocial and I shelter in place anyway. I think I know who may have been saying that. And then there are other various answers. 11% only when necessary. You know, this whole thing is just so ridiculous that people aren't using their brains. I mean, the mask creates so many other things besides health issues, compliance issues. Here's what I want you to do. Because when you look at the bars, what do you think of when you think of a great bar? You think local? Locally owned? You think a place to gather and have fun with your friends and maybe make a toast? I don't think corporations. I don't think going into one of the big, you know, restaurants that will still have their bars open. I don't think that. I think something local. They're the ones that are being shut down, shut out. Why? because corporations rule. Let's just knock out the little guys. Why have people go to a fun local bar when they can go to just, you know, one of these big corporate locations, then get a drink? So what do you think? Don't go into those places. Don't spend your money. Pee-wee, stop calling my cell phone. If you want to talk, geez, call the station. I know the lines are blocked right now because I was doing something here and now you made me lose my train of thought. But get your friends together. Go to the store. Get whatever you like to drink. Take it home. And start throwing parties. I had a party with 65 people here in my backyard last Saturday. This is what you need to do. Because private property, you make your rules. You enforce your rules. Stop going. I'm not saying boycott, just stop going to the places that are going to be sending their money to the state. Because the state doesn't deserve our money. They're just going to be coming and taking it other ways anyway. Start throwing raging parties wherever you can, privately. It's all we need to do. We need to get back together. We need to start hugging each other. We need to start talking to each other. And we need to start doing it without masks. Because he is blaming all of these numbers that are increasing for COVID, because we have an increase in testing. He's blaming it and taking it out on bars. I thought California had the biggest jackwipe as a governor. But I realize, and I could admit when I am wrong, we do here in Nevada. We'll be back after this Fox News break on the Monica Jay Show and with a great interview, very special guest joining us, Randy Thompson, up next. We're going to talk to her about those small businesses out there that are literally being decimated by this jackwipe of a governor, right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Ninety-nine point one. 92.3 is FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. So glad you're with me today on this Friday. I don't know how special of a Friday it's going to be because of lockdown and COVID fears being blasted into everybody in a secret special session going on right now. And I say secret because you're not allowed to be there. If you want to watch it online, excuse me, sorry about that. If you want to watch it online, yeah, you can do that, but you really can't participate. They want you to put in your questions beforehand. Well, how can I put in questions beforehand if I don't know what you guys are doing and saying? How can I rebut something? So much going on. Randy Thompson will be joining us at 11 because I just got a phone call from Las Vegas that we had to take. And that is because Robert Fellner is joining me right now, joining us from NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute. And as we have this special session that we are not allowed to attend, there are things that you should know, like that there's a lawsuit because the Nevada Constitution forbids government employees from serving in the legislature. Well, we have a government employee that I didn't know about serving in the legislature. Joining us right now, Robert Fellner. Thank you so much for calling back, Rob. Appreciate your time today. And tell me about this lawsuit.
Hey, Monica. We've been trying to bring this for a while now. Like you said, the Nevada Constitution has a very strong separation of powers clause, which most people are familiar with. You know, we have three branches of government. They need to be kept separate. You have checks and balances, and you don't want the same people controlling the legislature as you have in the judiciary or in the executive branch.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's very hard to enforce restraints on government. They're not going to do it to themselves, right? So the only way, so they've been defying this constitutional provision for years. And traditionally, it's been the Nevada courts have made it very difficult for your average citizen to file a lawsuit alleging a constitutional violation. It's pretty technical. I don't want to bore your listeners, but it's tough. It's a high bar to meet. However, a couple years back, it was actually Nevada Supreme Court case about the educational school choice program, where they finally said, okay, we're going to start allowing, on a limited basis, people to raise constitutional challenges without going through all these hurdles. So that's when that happened, we said, okay, there's a path. We got to do this because not only is the practice, you know, rampant and it's just wrong to violate the Constitution as a principle, there's tremendous, tremendous harm from that. You know, right now, they're seriously considering raising taxes to increase government funding. Mm-hmm. And many of the lawmakers are government employees themselves, meaning that they're unbelievably and totally conflicted because the increased taxes are going to go directly to them or directly to their employer, right? I mean, like the other day, the union down here for CCSD says, you know, we'll push them to raise taxes. Well, three of the legislators he's trying to convince are CCSD employees. And so the conflict couldn't be more profound. It affects almost everything pertaining to government, whether it's public records or pensions or anything else where, you know, we, the taxpayers, saying, hey, the only voice we have is at the legislature. How are we supposed to have our voices heard if we're saying, hey, we got to restrain government or we don't want to raise taxes or we want to know what government's doing? And the people who make those decisions are the very government employees themselves.
So that's and we can't even about. Get in to challenge it inside the doors because they're locked. Now, is it just Senator Cannizzaro that is a blatant, obvious, break from this? Or are there more people we don't know about?
There's nine. So Cannizzaro and Senator Melanie Scheibel, because they're both district attorneys, are the most egregious indefensible, right? Because as deputy district attorneys, their day job is literally in determining who and where and when to enforce the law. Yet they simultaneously can influence writing that same law. So, I mean, there is just no concept of separation of powers that permits that. It's absolutely.
Well, especially now, police reform is one of the things that they're going to work on.
That is exactly right. And we, you know, we saw this firsthand last session because there's a practice called civil set forfeiture. Long story short, it's the only thing I'm aware of where you're guilty until proven innocent, where law enforcement can take your property without you ever having been convicted of a crime, and they seize it from you, and they could even keep the proceeds, right? So this is an issue that most everyone agrees is wrong. Last session, there was a bill to reform it, sponsored by a Democrat. It was passed on the Assembly floor. Every single Democrat and half of the Republicans in the Assembly voted to make it law. Well, then it goes to the Senate. The committee it went to was chaired by Deputy District Attorney Nicole Cannizzaro, who is also the head of the Senate and who works in law enforcement, and said, this bill, I'm not even going to let my fellow senators vote on it. She just killed it. So that's the prime example of, yeah, good luck passing reform here to improve the criminal justice system, to restore our fundamental due process rights. when the person you need to convince is someone working for the department who profits off the existing system?
How do we fix this, Robert? This is egregious.
It is. It's that's why we're doing it. You know, we're a small nonprofit. Litigation is timely and it's expensive. So we're not, you know, it's not our favorite thing to do, right? Just because resources are scarce. But it is egregious. And if it's not addressed, you know, taxpayers are just going to see their rights continue to be eroded. So this is the only way to fix it. And we just need the courts to do their most important job, right? Their fundamental job is we have a constitution. It says all these great things. Well, who enforces it, right? That's the whole point of the separation is the judiciary can check the executive or check the legislative and say, if you're, you know, operating outside the confines of the constitution, we're going to stop you. And, you know, that's why we filed this lawsuit. It's, as far as I can tell, the only way to fix this. We should win. You know, I mean, we look back in, not on this exact issue, but just talking about the separation of powers, generally, that the Nevada Supreme Court in 1967 was so forthright in defending it. And they literally said it was about a slightly separate issue, but when they had cause to talk about the separation of powers, they said, quote, is the single most important principle defending Nevada's liberty, and we need to make sure it's fully enforced. So we agree with that, and we just need to make sure the courts will allow us to go through the maze and put this before the Nevada Supreme Court so they can rule, hey, this isn't allowed and we're going to stop it going forward.
But Robert, how does that affect the special session that's going on right now with the decisions that these nine people are making?
Well, you're right. It won't. I mean, that's, you know, there's no way around that. The legal process is slow. You know, we'll be lucky to have a decision in 2 years. So there's nothing that can be done to stop what's going on right now in the special session. I mean, there's just
it has to be fixed at the ballot box, basically, which is coming up in November.
Right.
Wow. How can the average citizen, how can my listeners help?
Well, I mean, we're a nonprofit, so we depend on donations. So if anyone is interested to learn more, they can go to our website, nevadapolicy.org or npri.org. They can read more about it and all of our work. They can donate, which is really, really important. And also your point is spot on, too. I mean, they can, you know, see whether or not their elected official is a government employee and wonder, you know, ask themselves, am I going to have my interests heard if, you know, they're working in both branches at the same time? How, you know, if I'm interested in, you know, reform of an agency or lowering taxes, but my senator, my assemblyman is a government employee themselves, are they going to be able to, you know, make sure they're putting my interests first? I don't think so. That's why we filed the lawsuit. But you're right. That's another way that people can fix this problem.
Robert, I appreciate your time talking about this, and we need to get people geared up, especially for November. Would you mind sending me the list of those nine legislators so I can share them with my listeners and start educating people on the importance of, because this is not something that's brought up during elections. You know, people are, well, where do you work now? Will you give up that job? Because I remember something similar to this came up when Heidi Gansert was in there. So please,
yeah,
whatever we can do. And does it make a difference with the election coming up of who is elected to the Nevada Supreme Court? And do you have any recommendations or do you have any insights onto the judges that are running because of the fact that nobody knows judges? That is the hardest. That is the hardest question that I get when it's time for elections is, who do I vote for? I don't know these people. We don't know their background.
You know, that's a really great point. And it's weird because, you know, you wouldn't think that I would normally say, you know, maybe voting isn't the right way to go. But because no one, like, I talked to an attorney friend of mine and I asked him the same thing. I'm like, I can't figure out anything about the policy views of any of these judges running. And he said, Robert, I've actually argued in front of both of them. And I couldn't tell you either. Right. Because the rules for judges are they can't say anything. All they can say is I'll be fair.
yeah.
You know, and so, it's, you know, I don't know some other states have this system where it's appointed by other people, but then you have, you know, you can obviously have criticisms of that system. So it's tough. But I will say you are right that, oh my gosh, are those races, especially for the Nevada Supreme Court, so important. And I would recommend everyone, there is a great, I think, 15-minute video interview that Victor Jakes of the Review Journal did with the two candidates running for the vacant Supreme Court seat. Go to the Review Journal website, watch that video, because Victor does a good job of, even though, you know, they can't come out and really say it, some of the questions he asked get them to respond in a way where I think you can kind of figure out where each person stands. And that would be a resource I recommend to all your listeners at reviewjournal.com. And just, you can type in judicial debate or Ozzie Plumo or the other judge, Herndon. And that should be the first thing that pops up.
Okay. Well, and if you can always also send me that list of legislators, I'd really appreciate it, because especially up here in the north, we don't know the jobs of those down in the south, but it is nice to know now. So thank you so much for taking on this lawsuit. That is probably the number one question that I'm getting right now is how can I sue for my rights? I don't want to wear a mask. I don't have I have health issues. Our constitutional rights right now are being decimated by the Democrat-controlled legislature, and we just need lawyers to step up and help all of us, especially all those bar owners now. Robert Fellner, thank you so much for joining me today. NPRI.org. I would say whatever donations you were going to make today to any type of nonprofit organization, make sure it goes to NPRI. Robert, thank you so much, and I hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Monica. Take care.
You as well, sir. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more on this it's making my head hurt, this horrendous special session that is going on right now that should not be taking place. It should not be happening right now. We'll be back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Log on to 991fmtalk.com. Answer today's poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. And that is, what are you going to do this weekend? I really want to know. I want to see some bright things happening. I want you to get out and have some fun, even if that means just throwing a backyard bash. Get your friends together. Get your family together. I don't care if you go over 10. I don't care if you go over 50. Get together and enjoy the beautiful weather. Enjoy the outdoors. Enjoy the outside. Because I need you to be strong. I need you to be strong, and I need you to be healthy, and I need you to understand what's going on. I just, you know, all the businesses that are closed and will probably not reopen, money that was designated for them, you know, that CARES Act. Love this. Breaking news. CARES Act could cover large percentage of Nevada special session costs. Why is the CARES Act money going to that? We have about 25% of our citizens here in Nevada unemployed, needing help. And once again, money that is designed and designated to help the little guy doesn't even get close. Paycheck Protection Plan, that was a part of the CARES Act. Biggest mistake that they could have done was making it for employers that had 500 employees or fewer. It should have been 200 or less. Because all of these big corporations, Planned Parenthood, just to name one of them there that you know I have a big problem with. Clothing brand Yeezy, owned by a rapper. Nobu, Robert De Niro's restaurants. Oh, yeah, he got like $25 million. He's a millionaire. If they're his restaurants, why can't he put in some funds? Nope. Oh, and I made a mistake the other day. Planned Parenthood didn't get $50 million. They got $150 million. This money was supposed to be for the little guy, for the mom and pops, that the places we have here in Nevada. And still squat. This is how government officials are treating the citizens of this country. All for the big guys. Nothing for us. And that's your money that they're playing with. We'll be back after this Fox News break on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.